Open our meeting this evening singing number 14. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Or are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? We can just sing the first verse and the last verse. And could someone start that, please? Father, we just do ask thee. Turn with me, please, to a passage in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 11. Verse 1, Mark 11, verse 1, and when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. That's Jesus sent forth two of his disciples. And saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. If any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him. And straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. You know, there's often an exercise in the gospel towards some of you that are younger. And here's a colt that's tied, and tied right near a door, and it's a place where two ways met. And you know, tonight, you, whoever you are, older or younger, you stand in a place where two ways meet. And perhaps you're at a door. Perhaps you're at a place where you're making decisions on your own. You're getting a little older now. You're 5 years old. And you know there's things that you have to decide for yourself. Perhaps you're 12 years old. And you certainly need to make decisions more for yourself. Perhaps you're 18 years old and you stand at the door of your house and you're ready to leave. And you surely need to make decisions for yourself. There's, at that point, so often, not always someone to back you up. I'd like to talk a little bit about these ways. It's a place where two ways meet. Let's turn with me, please, to almost the last book of the Bible, the book of Jude. Jude, verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. And then a verse that I'm sure we've all memorized in Sunday school, in John chapter 14, verse 6, it says this. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. Choices, choices, choices. You're hit up with choices all the time. And there's some choices that are bigger than others and some that are smaller than others. But you know, this is one of the biggest choices you can make. Do you see Jesus Christ as the way? Oh, there's other ways. There's the way of Cain. But what's wrong with the way of the Lord Jesus? What's wrong with the way of Christ? Let's turn back to Genesis and read a bit about Cain. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 3. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin or a sin offering lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Cain brought a sacrifice to God. It was fruits and vegetables. He was a farmer, and he was probably a very good one. And he probably brought forth a lot of very nice things. I doubt if any of us would have found any fault with what Cain had done and what he had brought in terms of the quality. Abel brought something that, to be properly offered to God, there had to be blood shed. The little lamb had to die. And when he died, it had to bleed. Cain's sacrifice was without blood. We sometimes call it a sinless sacrifice. Jesus said unto them, I am the way. But consider that, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Is blood or no blood? Or is it? Was Cain's way without blood? Cain's way was bloody. He rose up in the field and he slew his brother. And so tonight, as you stand in a place where two ways meet, it's blood or it's blood. It's the blood of Christ or it's going to be the blood of violence. And there are no exceptions. One way or the other. You know, we're going to get back to it, but God talked to Cain. And you know, God is talking to you tonight, no matter what your attitude, whatever your spirit, whatever your point of view, God is talking to you tonight. And you know, he told Cain something. He said, Cain, there's a sin offering that lies at the door. Turn with me, please, to Exodus chapter 13. Very next book. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 12. That thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord's. In verse 13, and every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. You know, in Cain's case, you could say, oh, the blood was out there somewhere. You know, it was Abel. I wouldn't be involved in anything like that. I wouldn't be either the perpetrator or the victim. But you know, the Bible tells us that man is born as a wild ass's colt. And that's what we read about in Mark. There was a foal of an ass that was tied by a door, a place where two ways meet. And our little donkey here in Exodus chapter 13, just imagine this if you can. This little unborn is being pushed through the door of birth into this world. And out it comes. And suddenly, if it's a firstborn little donkey, there's a choice. Oh, these choices. There's a choice. A choice has to be made for that little one, but put yourself in that position. And you know what? Both of the choices involve blood. Choice number one. The owners can seek to save that little donkey. And they can give the blood of a lamb. A sacrifice. In exchange. For that donkey. And if they don't do that. Then the donkey's blood is shed in death. There is a way where two ways meet. And it's going to be blood, or it's going to be blood. Do you want it to be yours? Or do you want it to be a sacrifice in your place? God challenges us through much of Scripture. Moses said, I've set before you life and death. Choose life. Choose life. Can life come through the shedding of blood? Yes, if it's the blood of the Lord Jesus. Absolutely. He came to give life. His blood can cover you and give you eternal salvation and redemption. Joshua says, choose you this day who you will serve. Choose you this day. Choices, choices. Elijah says, I'm going to quote this quite right perhaps. Why halt ye between two opinions? Why halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord is God, honor Him. If there's some other God hanging out there, honor Him. But why do you halt between two opinions? You must make a choice. It's pressed on you. You're obliged. And there are no exceptions. There are no exceptions. Let's turn to Book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 34. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify. And some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel. You like this way of Cain? From the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. All these things shall come upon this generation. How long do you halt between two opinions? There's blood been shed out there. And you're either in favor of it or you're not. All the way from Abel. Is our heart really much different than Cain's? Wasn't it mentioned this afternoon that even the whole concept of a lie in our hearts, that the end point of it is murder? I found that kind of shocking. I hope you did too. But there is a course, and it'll run its course. And the way of Cain will end in blood. And so all the way from the beginning, the blood of righteous Abel, all the way down to the present time, it was all going to fall on this generation. And certainly it includes the generation that the Lord was talking to at that moment. And it includes our generation here in 2005. Let's turn over just a few pages to Matthew chapter 16. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 27, verse 16. Matthew 27 and verse 16. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. In the book of Mark, we have recorded that 15 verse 7, for those that are interested, but you don't need to turn. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And so we also have in the book of John that he was a robber. He was a notable prisoner, well known. And you know what? The people liked him. The people liked him. He was a robber. He was a murderer. But in the eyes of the people, he had one redeeming feature. He rose his fist in rebellion against the Roman government. Insurrection. Maybe you wouldn't think that's so great, but they thought that was pretty cool stuff. They're willing to overlook some of the other things. What's God willing to overlook? And really, truly, what are you willing to overlook? Oh, we rationalize all kinds of things. And we start real, real young, don't we? I didn't do that. My sister did it. Well, he deserved it. We start real, real young, and we don't change. In Matthew 27, let's keep reading from verse 16. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? A choice. Another choice. For he knew that for envy they delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whither of the twain, which of the two will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. And with it, all the blood from righteous Abel right on down through history. The way of Cain. A choice. What is it going to be? Someone who healed the sick, brought people back from the dead, people who fed, person who fed the people, fed the multitude, The person who spoke of them, to them, of the Father. The person who was going to usher in a kingdom of righteousness and of peace. Take your choice. Him or the bloody man? Give us Barabbas. What are you going to do with Jesus? Crucify him. Blood, blood, blood. What a world we've generated for ourselves. You know, you take the sinless sacrifice of Cain and it'll generate the world of Barabbas. And Barabbas has been set loose in this world, as we well know. We think there's a war going on. It's one of about 30 that are happening in this world right now. And if you extend your definition of war just a little bit, actually not too far, and depending on whether you talk to the CIA or to the State Department, there's a minimum of 60 wars going on right now. This is Barabbas's world. It's Barabbas's world. You can look at the newspaper. You can see the violence, the bloodshed. Sometimes it comes awful close, doesn't it? I've walked up a street called Alvarado Boulevard and watched my step, so I didn't step in the pools of coagulating blood. I followed a trail of blood from an apartment door out to the street. I viewed blood-soaked jeans. The occupant of those jeans survived. I've attended a gang funeral. The name of the gang? The Bloods. Or you say that's inner city stuff. And it was. Someone was murdered in our neighbor's driveway. Well, I don't live there. I live in a place where they have a real nice high school. It's called Columbine. Well, I live in a very homogeneous type society where we all kind of get along. It's on an Indian reservation up in Minnesota, was it? Tremendous violence at that school just in the past 3 months or so. No, I'm immune from that. That's not in my experience. But you know, if you're not under the shed blood, if you're not redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and under the shelter of His shed blood, you're in a world of violence and blood. If you're a woman here in this audience, a minimum, and I think the statistics are greater than 40%. It's a minimum of 40% of women that come to a violent end. They die in their own house at the hands of somebody that they know. Minimum of 40%. What will you do then with Jesus? Let's turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. As it is written, There is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understand that there is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all gone out of the way. They are and together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. That's the world without Christ. That's the world that said, away with him, crucify him. We will not have this man to rule over us. His blood be on us and our children. And this is the result. Let's take another little contrast. John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Is there really a choice? Come now. Is there really a choice? Do you want the peace with God? Do you want the peace of God? Or do you want the violence of Cain's way in Barabbas' world? The Lord Jesus Christ, he says, come unto me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Turn back just a couple chapters to John chapter 10. It's mostly just a phrase I'm looking for here. And it's John 10 and verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And so again we encounter a door. Are you near that door? Like that little donkey in the Gospel of Mark? Tied there at a place where two ways meet? What about this one who is the door? Turn with me to chapter 19. In verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation of the body, should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, they besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. And when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. This we must all take account of. The one who called himself the door is the very one who back in the book of Genesis was the sin offering that lay right there at the door. He's both the door and he's the offering. And he is the one who shed blood, his own, voluntarily. He was sent of God as the Lamb of God into this world. And this was his purpose. It was to give his blood. It was to give his blood to protect you. And to give you life. He's the one who laid down his life for the sheep. What is your choice? Is it going to be blood? Or is it going to be blood? It's going to be the blood that was shed here by the Lord Jesus Christ that was given in love towards you. Or it's going to be the blood of violence. Warfare, human sacrifice. Don't think these things are very far from us. They're not. It's going to be one or the other. What is your choice? The Lord Jesus offers to you love and light and life. And if you refuse that, then you have darkness forever. And you have eternal death. And you'll have a place where there'll never, ever be any thought or feeling of love. What is your choice? What think ye of Christ? Is he the way? What think ye of Christ? Can he bring you peace? What think ye of Christ? Is he the door? What think ye of Christ? Has he given his blood for you to wash away your sins forever? Sing a hymn in closing. Number 21. Someone start that, please.